My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you two are daft for Donald, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you thought that the Tower of Terror was a giant Jenga in your local pub beer garden. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week we catch up with Natalie and we want to find out how this happened.
Didn't spend anything. It was amazing. I bought handbags and basically anything I wanted. I was like a kid in a sweet shop.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks and everything you need to know to have the most magical time and the most magical place on earth. And make sure you keep in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. We've got a lot of news to get through on this episode, including the return of parades. More on that, and we'll chat to Natalie in a moment. Quick question. We do a Q&A at the start of the podcast every episode. Hello to Grant. Hope you're well. We are hopefully, fingers crossed, going to Walt Disney World in December or early next year. And we're wondering, how do you get a single day park ticket? Every time to go to the Disney website, it redirects me to the UK website and I can only buy 7 or 14 days. I just want one. My advice, Grant, would be to use an American-based website or an American travel agent. I have bought tickets before from Undercover Tourist, undercovertourist.com. You can buy single-day tickets on there. That's probably your best option because, of course, you still want to get your park passes in advance. So you don't really want to wait until you're there and buy it on the gate and then not be able to get in. So that's my best advice. American travel agents. Don't forget, if you've got any questions, I'll do my best to answer them on the podcast. Just drop me a message, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We are at PodMagical. If you'd like to be a podcast guest, just drop me a message there as well. We're always looking for people to talk about Walt Disney World. And that's what Natalie has done. She's on this episode of the podcast to talk about her love of Walt Disney World, but also shopping. You're just telling me that shopping is a big thing when you go to the parks.
Yes, I do love shopping. It was great the last time we went because we booked Caribbean Beach and then they started doing the renovation. So they gave us like loads of free money. So
oh, wow.
Literally, we just didn't spend anything. It was amazing. I bought handbags and basically anything I wanted. I was like a kid in a sweet shop.
Oh, great. So did you have the free dining and the Disney dollars anyway?
Yes.
And then you had extra money on top of that?
Yeah, so literally we didn't really spend anything.
How much did they give you out of interest?
It was like $75 per room per night.
What? Wow. They're practically paying you to stay there.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, you could change to a different hotel or you can have the money. And we were like,
No.
I'll have the money. It's fine.
Because it wasn't really much of an inconvenience because the rooms are exactly the same. It was just basically where you get your food. Didn't they put them into like porter cabins and things?
Yeah, there was like a big marquee. So we had like, we only ate there once anyway. And like the buses to and from the parks were a bit of a mess. But
yeah,
I'll take that for
yeah,
not spending anything
for that, for that extra money, for all those handbags that you can buy,
yes,
and spirit jerseys,
definitely,
and ears, and etc. So when was the first time you went to Walt Disney World, Natalie?
So I went in 2006, so I was about 15. I went with my parents, and then since then we went 2008, 2009, 2010, and then the last one was 2017.
So it's been about, what, 4 years since you've been last time?
Yeah.
And have you got another trip lined up? Have you got your eyes on going back soon?
Not at the moment. We've just got a 7-month-old.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're yeah, waiting till she's a bit older and things like the world calms down.
But yeah, you've got a good amount of time. You've got a few years. When she's like 5 or 6 or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's the aim, to be honest. I think
yeah,
we kind of want it so she can do more things and we don't have to like worry so much
yeah,
about taking a toddler.
That's it. And stuff that she'll remember it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Even if it's vaguely remember it, she'll kind of remember it. So what do you remember about the first time you went?
I remember not going on like any roller coasters at all.
Yeah.
I was like literally terrified. I didn't go on anything. Like I remember queuing up with my parents for Tower of Terror and then saying I didn't want to go on and then they took me down the like normal lift.
The chicken run, I think they call it.
Yeah. I don't mind it now. It's not my favourite. I've done it. I still don't do it now.
No.
I'd just rather wait in the shop at the end.
Especially they're giving you money to spend. So you're not a thrill seeker. You're not into big coasters.
No, I do like really big roller coasters. I just don't really like Tower of Terror that much.
Is it that it turns your stomach inside out?
Yeah, I think it's like the up and down. I like proper roller coasters, like rocking roller coaster and ones that go over rather than up and down.
Yeah, right. They're just shooting you up and down. So what is your favourite attraction then?
So it's actually Toy Story Mania.
Oh, okay.
I really like Toy Story Mania, especially we had a thing when I went with my parents. We had a rule that my dad was never allowed to ride alone. He had to have either me or my mum because he'd cheat and tell us his score that was like way higher than what he actually achieved.
Oh, so it's totally lie.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had to, I usually went with him.
Yeah.
And I remember one time my mum went with a single rider and like her score was just like amazing, and she's not amazing usually.
She's very good.
And apparently it was the guy that she went with actually was like a pro, and he had like unlocked all the like really good screens.
So there are like secret little things that you can do. Can you remember any of the tips that he gave?
No. I remember is when we were like leaving and me and my dad were like, no, you could never have scored that. And then he like turned around and was like, yeah, she did. And we were like, oh, never mind.
She hacked Toy Story Mania. We want to know now. What's the secret? Next time we go, I will ride with your mum.
Yes, definitely.
She can pass the top tips on to me. So let's talk about if you could have the perfect day at Walt Disney World. So, okay, you've got 24 hours. You can go to any parks. You can park hop. You can eat where you want. You can go on any ride. Do whatever you want. Shopping, eating. What would your perfect Disney day be?
I think it'd be staying at the Polynesian. I've always wanted to stay there. It's just so expensive. And we always go there for like a little trip. So I love to stay there. And then go to Epcot. I think that's my favourite park. I think it's just, I like soaring, and then I like the World Showcase. There's nothing better just like strolling around there, trying all the different foods. I remember one time we got pictures of me. I had a picture in a hat in every different country. So we had to go and find the hats in the shop.
You didn't buy the hats, did you?
No, we just wore them.
Just wore them, yeah. I think we've all got a picture, especially in the Mexican pavilion, of everybody wearing a big sombrero.
Yeah, I think I also put the poncho on as well.
Oh, you went full on for it, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely Epcot, especially also the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, during the festivals. And where would you end the night? Would you stay for the fireworks at Epcot? Would you be a full-on Epcot day and your perfect day?
I do like the fireworks. Well, we haven't been since they've changed them. So we've only ever seen the Illuminations.
So it's Epcot forever now at the moment. Yeah. And then the new one is coming soon.
So that'd be interesting to see that. No, I think I'd probably go to Disney Springs.
Okay.
I like the restaurants there. I really like the Coca-Cola like bar at the top.
Do you know what? I've never been in that. Walked past it a few times, never even been into the Coca-Cola shop at Disney Springs.
The shop was all right. I just really liked the bar on the top because you could obviously try all the different Coca-Colas from around the world. They did cocktails as well.
Can you get a Beverly cocktail?
I don't think so. I think I probably had a Long Island iced tea, to be honest.
They're not free, by the way. It's not like Club Cool at Epcot. You do have to pay for the samples, don't you?
To be fair, we did do it with we could use our gift card there as well.
You had so much money to spend. Yeah, I'll have a cocktail up here as well. Mickey Mouse is paying for all this.
Yeah.
So you were on the dining plan last time you went. Let's talk about some of your favourite restaurants.
I really like Garden Grill.
With Chip and Dale at Epcot, yeah?
Yeah, Chip and Dale are my favourite characters, so it's lovely to see them. But I think I just love it how it like spins around and you get to see the ride, and also you got character dining, and I just really like how they just put the food in the middle and you can just share it all.
Yeah, it's good food as well there.
Yeah, it's not like my favorite food that I've had, but it's like really nice, and it's like the environment. I think the best steak I had was at Morimoto Asia at Disney Springs. That was the best steak ever.
You really have eaten your way around Walt Disney World, haven't you?
Yeah, usually I have to go through the book. So, like, we got a book of like the restaurants, and we choose which ones.
Garden Grill is your favourite?
I think so. It's just the whole atmosphere, and it's in Epcot, which is my favourite.
When you go back with the little one, it's great there because you can do the character meets, and it's not a buffet, so you don't have to keep getting up and down. And they bring the food.
Yeah, and you can ask for more, and they just give it to you. And
yeah,
I remember once it was at Liberty Tree Tavern, which is another one of my favourites. We were eating there, and then we were like finished. And we saw a family, and they were still on like the mains, and we'd like gone for everything just because they kept asking for more.
Yeah, you can.
Crazy. Yeah, and they just just keep bringing it.
That used to be character dining as well, isn't it? Liberty Tree Tavern, way back when.
Yeah, we've done it with character dining. I think one year we were there at 4th of July, so I decided I wanted to go there because I thought it's like the most American.
It's
the wrong holiday, but they're both American holidays. So
it's more Thanksgiving, but I mean, it's the same kind of thing, isn't it, when you're British?
Yeah.
We don't know, do we? Natalie's on the podcast. We'll be back with more of your Disney memories, but let's get a news update very soon. It's a big one. Let's start with the main big story, the elephant in the room. So FastPass, free FastPass, will be no more at Walt Disney World. I think this is something we saw coming. I think Walt Disney World was the only one that actually had the free FastPass services. So your three FastPasses a day that you're booking weeks in advance, forget that. There is a brand new system that is going to be operational from the end of this year. They're saying fall, so probably think October time, maybe in time for the 50th. You'll have heard over the last couple of years, Disney talking about the Disney Genie app. Well, it's been launched just yesterday, and that is basically what's going to replace the FastPass system. There are three parts to what I can see the Disney Genie app. By the way, it's not a new app. It's built into the My Disney experience. It's all part of your regular app as it goes. The first part is the part that's kind of going to be like your organisational part. This is the free part. So you'll be able to put in an itinerary saying, okay, I want to do this, this, and this. And it will give you an itinerary. It'll direct you to the rides, which are the quietest at the quietest times. And you can also go on there and you can have a look at queue times, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's quite a good idea. It's flexible. It's fun. It might help you organise a little bit more. The second layer of this is the Disney Genie Plus service. So for $15 a day at Walt Disney World, you will be able to choose the next available time to arrive at a variety of attractions and experiences using the Lightning Lane. So the Lightning Lane is going to replace the FastPass lane. And if you want to use it, it's going to cost you $15 a day. If you're staying on site, if you're staying at one of the resorts from 7 o'clock each morning, you'll be able to make your first reservation. And then each other reservation will be after that one. So rather than doing the three at a time, you're making one, then you're making your next one, and so on and so forth. It's very much like the MaxPass system that they had at Disneyland Resort in California. Disneyland Resort is also getting the Disney Genie Plus service as well. Now, I've used the MaxPass at Disneyland Resort, and I thought it was brilliant. We managed to get on so many rides. I'm talking like over a dozen rides. That's like having a dozen fast passes. Now, at the time I used it, the price of that was only $10 a day, and we were only there for 3 days. So you're looking at $30, and you think, actually, that's not bad. That $30 on top of my holiday for all these fast passes, that's brilliant. Obviously, Walt Disney World is different because you're probably going to go for 2 weeks and it's going to be more expensive. It's $15. And here's the thing, it doesn't include all the attractions. So you're $15 a day, for example, you're going to Magic Kingdom, you're spending $15 a day. So that will get you on Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, Pirates of the Caribbean, things like that. However, there is another layer where you will have to pay more. This is the individual attraction selections. So for this, you'll be able to schedule a time to arrive for just two high in-demand attractions per day. Once again, using the Lightning Lane entrance. So they've specified like things like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So as well as paying you $15 a day to do most of the attractions, if you want to get on the big, busy, brand new attractions, for example, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you will have to pay for that individual attraction. Pricing for this is going to vary by date and park and how busy it's going to be. They haven't actually given us any prices for this. So that's what we're looking at the moment. That is your replacement for FastPass. Forget the free FastPass. That's gone. That's why a lot of people are very angry at the moment because, well, they've taken away something that was free. And if you look at it, they've taken quite a lot of things that were for free. If you think about the last time we got to go here in the UK, it was like the beginning of 2020, end of 2019 for a lot of people. Think of all the free things you got. So you got off the plane, you had the free Magical Express. That's gone. You've got to pay for transfers to get there. Then we had free dining for a lot of people. Well, that's not back at the moment. So you're going to have to pay for food. And then if you want to go fast past some of the rides, you don't want to be stood in queues all day, then we've got to pay for that on top. Unless you want to do the extra magic hours at night, but they're only for people who are staying at deluxe resorts. So again, you're going to have to pay more for the deluxe resorts. It is getting very, very expensive. Here is my advice and here are my thoughts. If it's like anything like MaxPass, which means you can basically spend the entire day walking from one attraction to the next, brilliant. That's good. I probably wouldn't use it every day. I wouldn't want to spend hundreds of pounds on my holidays on top of what I've already paid. It's all about budgeting. So I might have treated myself to fireworks, after hours dessert party. That's probably going to be the same cost as what I would pay for the Disney Genie Plus service. Maybe spend less on merchandise. Maybe not go to the fancier restaurants, or maybe not stay on site at Walt Disney World. There isn't a lot really of incentive to stay there anymore. So maybe look at those cheaper Disney Springs hotels where you're still getting a transportation to take you to the parks. And then, of course, if you want to get back, just get on a bus to Disney Springs at night. They're a little bit cheaper. They'll still get you in half an hour because, of course, these extra magic hours have been replaced with this half an hour entry for resort guests. That's included there as well. So it's all about budgeting, I think. Yes, it is becoming very expensive. And even myself, I've been thinking, those trips every year, sometimes twice, once, three times a year, I think they're actually going to be a thing of a past. I think it's going to be back to when I first started going way back in the early noughties, when it was like a treat every other year to go to Walt Disney World. It's a deluxe treat for all of us. Maybe in the future, some of the free things might start coming back. So maybe we will get free Disney Genie Plus service added on rather than free dining plan. We'll just have to wait and see. But don't panic. Don't cry. Don't get upset. Remember, most of the magical times at Walt Disney World aren't really on the attractions. I mean, I love Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but I also love the fireworks and the parades and walking down Main Street and seeing the castle and seeing kids carrying balloons. They're the real magic memories that we have. So don't get too tied up in the penny pinching. Just remember why we love it in the first place, and hopefully it won't ruin the fun. Talking about expensive things at Walt Disney World, also announced were the After Hours Christmas party. So at the moment, we've got the Halloween parties. The Boo Bash is now on select nights over at Magic Kingdom, one of the most expensive After Hours events ever. Well, it was up to when they announced the Christmas parties. The Boo Bash, by the way, people seem to like it. It's expensive, but it's really quiet. The Halloween parties were really busy, and yet you were getting normal queue times for rides. Whereas at the After Hours events, probably the longest wait was for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which it always is. We're looking about 20, 25 minutes. So for a 3-hour event, do you still want to spend 20 minutes waiting for a ride? Probably not. But the Christmas parties have been announced. No, they're not Christmas parties. They're Christmas After Hours events. Disney's Very Merriest After Hours start from the 8th of November running up to the 21st of December from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. over at Magic Kingdom. This is a replacement for the Christmas parties, the Christmas After Hour events. But a lot of what's happening is like what you would have got at the Christmas parties anyway. You got the Christmas fireworks and the Christmas parade is back. Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, which is probably the best parade, with those dancing soldiers, the nutcrackers, walking down Main Street and the snow. There's also going to be treats, no character meet and greets, but hopefully it's going to be really quiet, especially for the price tag. Are you ready for this? So the prices for the Christmas After Hour events start from $169 to $229 per person, not including tax. However, if you're there just before Christmas, the 19th and 21st of December, the price for the ticket is $249 plus tax per person. Family of four, it's over $1,000. For the Christmas After Hours event. Other news coming from the parks. Space 220, the new restaurant at Epcot. Were you dining out of space? We've been waiting ages for this. Finally, they've given us a date-ish. It's going to open in September. They launched a new video for that. And the countdown is on less than 50 days to go before the 50th celebrations at Walt Disney World. The merchandise is out. That flew off the shelves. I tried to get some on the Shop Disney website. Again, I was too late. And also, they've started more decorations around the parks as well, including the 50th anniversary banners. And let's finish the news with a little bit of good news. The original Ohana menu is back. Remember, they had some sort of shrimp casserole? Forget that. The original Ohana restaurant menu is back. Sorry if the news has been a little bit confusing. Still trying to get my head around the whole Genie Plus app. It's very confusing. If you thought going to Disney was confusing before, it's really confusing now. And a quick look at, we did a survey on Instagram yesterday to what people thought about the Genie service. 17% said it's all right. 83% not in favour. Don't forget, keep up with all the news. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at PodMagical. Natalie is on the podcast with us, so you've been quite a few times. Have you got a particular favourite hotel?
We did stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I really liked that one. We were quite lucky with the price, and I think, because I think I was still classed as a child, even though I think I might have been 18. But that was like really nice. But I also quite like Port Orleans French Quarter.
Yeah.
I just loved it how, like, every time you got off the bus, you they gave you, like, beaded necklaces. I came home with, like, so many because every day I got back, they kept giving me more.
I never got those when I stayed there.
Didn't you? They were...
The Mardi Gras beads. I never got that. Yeah, a word.
Yeah, they just kept giving... Like, they were all in, like the purple and green colours. But literally, I think I had to leave some there because my mum was like, you can't take them all home.
It's weighing the case down.
Yeah.
Have you got a particular favourite memory? Because you've been quite a few times. Is there any one standout memory from your times at Disney World?
Yeah, I think the last holiday we went with my husband, we did the four parks one day.
Ah, we were talking about this just a couple of podcasts ago. So, four parks one day.
Yeah.
What was your itinerary?
So the plan was to have a ride and a snack.
Right, okay.
In every part. And we had, like, it all planned out because we wanted to end in Epcot because it was a food and wine festival. So we knew that we'd, like, use up loads of snacks as our evening meal. And then we were supposed to do Flights of Passage and we had a fast pass for that. But then it was down on the day. We had to keep rejigging our plan. And then eventually it reopened. So then we had to then go back to Animal Kingdom because that was going to be our first stop.
Did you start at Animal Kingdom then?
We were planning to.
Right.
But because Flight of Passage was shut up, it ended up being our
So you already knew that Flight of Passage, it had come up on the app that Flight of Passage was down, they'd swap your fast pass. Okay, I got you. So where was your first stop?
I think it might have been Hollywood Studios. We did Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
And we had the Butterfinger cupcake thing, that huge.
Okay, for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think we had a Starbucks as well. Always got a Starbucks there.
Got that caffeine boost to get you going.
Yeah. And then... I think we had to then do Magic Kingdom because Flight of Passage was still shut. And we did the Snow White Mine Train and we had the turkey leg and that was literally the first and last time we're going to have a turkey leg.
Yeah, not the greatest.
No, no. My husband was like really hyped for it and then he ate it and he was like, I really don't like it.
Yeah.
So we'll not be having that again. And then eventually Flight of Passage was up so we could go there. And then we had the Night Blossom drink because that's...
Yeah.
Amazing. And then we went to Epcot, did Soarin', and then we literally just ate around.
Ate all the snacks.
Yeah. I think I like the bao buns from China. We had those quite a lot. And then I think I found some chocolate. Yeah, I'm not really fussed about the wine. It was just the food.
Yeah, yeah. Would you recommend doing four parks in one day?
It was tiring, and it was a lot of walking, of literally going to a ride and then leaving. It was a lot of travel for not a lot of action.
You're going to spend most of your day getting to and from the parks.
Yeah, especially like waiting for buses or the monorail or a boat.
Yeah.
It might be a bit easier with the Skyliner maybe, depending on where you stay in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of to and fro, and especially it would, like, I optimised the route and then the ride that we wanted to do was
shut. Kind of messed your day up, yeah. Because I remember when I did it, we started at Animal Kingdom because we knew that we could do Animal Kingdom first, then it was the bus to Hollywood Studios, then we walked from Hollywood Studios to Epcot, and then cut through Epcot and got the monorail from Epcot to Magic Kingdom. But that still, the following day, it was like, why did we do that? We just absolutely shattered.
Yeah, I think we did do it on, like, the last day before we were coming home.
Yeah.
Because we had, like, a day free that we didn't, like, plan anything. And then
that's always good to do.
Yeah, and whilst I was there, I was like, actually, let's try this.
Just do everything.
Yeah.
And that was the last time you went, so I suppose you did get the most out of that last visit.
Yeah.
Do you venture outside to any of the other parks as well, or do anything else in Orlando?
Yeah, we usually do Universal. We're all fans of Harry Potter, so when that we have to. I'm not a massive Universal fan, but I think a lot of the rides are just a simulation, which I'm not.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same, but Harry Potter... It's just amazing, so...
They are great rides, the Harry Potter rides. How many days would you usually do at Universal? Say you're going for 2 weeks at Disney and you're staying at Disney. How much of that time would you give to Universal?
Last time we just did 2 days. We still had our hotel at Disney, but we just had one night at Universal. So we just, like...
Okay, so you had two hotel rooms for one night.
Yeah, because we wanted to make sure we had the dining plan. But literally... All four of us had, like, one shared a room. I think it was quite cheap in the end.
And where did you stay at Universal?
I think it was the Cabana one. Is that like the 50s?
Cabana Bay, yeah.
Yeah, that one. And then we got like the fast passes, like or early access to Harry Potter.
So it gets you in early, yeah.
Yeah, so we just did the 2 days, which then meant that we could cram it all in those 2 days and then we didn't go back.
That's a good idea because, I mean, that hotel room for the night, you're literally there just to sleep, aren't you? The end of the night, you crash and then following morning you're up, back into Universal and then at the end of that day, back home at Disney.
Yeah, and it saved us as well because, like, me and my mum can drive, but we don't want to drive over there, which is why we always stay on site. So we got an Uber and then it's basically we only have to pay for the two Ubers there and back. So you also save on that as well.
Makes total sense. So since the first time you went, what year did you go first time, did you say?
2006.
Is there anything that they no longer have at Disney that they've got rid of and you think, oh, that's a shame? It's sad that that's gone.
Randomly, I think it's the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I really
loved that.
At Hollywood Studios or MGM Studios, as it was.
Yeah, I loved it. I got on the top 10. I was like so proud because it was only there for the first year. So I was like 15. I think it was like an American president's question. And somehow I managed to get on the top 10 fastest finger. I was like so proud of myself.
It was, just in case anybody, I don't know if we've talked about this before, it was the actual set of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it was like the show, wasn't it? They had a host in there and the audience, and it worked exactly the same. So when you got through to the top 10 fastest finger, did you have to then go and sit down at the bottom?
No.
Yeah. So you didn't get to actually sit in the big seat and ask the questions. But they never gave away a million, did they? And it was like a key ring or something.
Yeah, I think they gave you points rather than like money, and then you like those points equated to like pins and lanyards and stuff like that. I remember I was gutted because I think the person that was in the chair, they literally asked like the easiest question about the Little Mermaid and he didn't know it. And I was like, how could you be here and not know that?
Idiot, you're in Disney.
So yeah, I was gutted.
I'm trying to think of what is actually there now, where that used to be.
I think it got swallowed up by Toy Story Land.
Oh, yeah, of course. You're right, actually. Yeah, the building's not there now, is it?
No, they just got rid of it and it's now Toy Story. So I lose that, but then I do gain Toy Story Mania, so...
You get Toy Story Mania, which is your favourite attraction.
Yeah.
Anything you don't like, apart from the turkey legs?
It's just so far away.
Yeah.
And so expensive. I think our problem is that we probably cram too much, so it is...
Yeah.
It's quite a tiring holiday. It's not, like, because it's just so far away and we don't go as often now. It's not that I hate that, it's just, when you get back, you need another holiday.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I'm the same. And you put in those rest days, you go, okay, we'll just do half a day. We'll have a lie in here and we'll go to Epcot in the afternoon. But then you wake up and you go, oh, I've got the morning off. Let's just go to Animal Kingdom and then we'll go to Epcot. It's impossible to try and make rest days and then just not fill them with something.
Yeah, definitely.
And when you go back with the little one, with your daughter, you're going to have to put in rest days because she's going to want naps.
Yeah.
She's going to be grouchy.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to have to, like, we hardly ever go to like the pools. So
there you go. It'll force you to go to pools. Do you go to any of the water parks?
Yeah, we usually go to one a trip. So I think I prefer Typhoon Lagoon. Is that the one with the wave machine? Or is that Blizzard Beach? I never remember which one.
I don't know. I can never remember the difference between both of them.
Yeah, because one with the lazy river thing, isn't there? And then I like the wave machine one because I love like swimming right to the barrier at the top and then seeing how far I can.
I can't remember which one is which. Well, next time you go, you'll be spending a lot of time in the pools, I guess, even if it's just the hotel pool. And you'd definitely stay at Disney next time with a little girl. You wouldn't go for like a villa or anything like that. Definitely.
No, I think it's just the driving aspect that's a pain for us because me and my mum won't really drive over there. And it's just, I think, easier with the buses and stuff that it's all in one place and you don't have to worry about anything.
And hopefully in a few years' time, you'll be back there as a mum for the first time.
Yes.
Natalie, lovely talking to you.
Thanks.
And have a magical day. If you fancy coming on the podcast for a chat, we're looking for guests. All you need to do is find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, send us a direct message. Podmagical is where we are on the socials, and we'll get back in touch with you. Here's a top tip to end the episode, as we always do, and this is possibly one of the most brilliant pieces of advice that I've heard over the last few weeks. If you are heading over to Walt Disney World, whenever that may be, why don't you take a small hanging shoe organiser with you? You know the ones that you normally hang over the door, and you can just put shoes in or slippers or something like that. Take one of those with you if you have got a buggy or a stroller, because they are mega handy for putting in your bits and bobs. If you hang one of those over the back of the buggy, if you're over the back of the stroller, everything can go in there. refillable mugs, your sun cream. When you're going around the parks, it's easy to get hold of. What a brilliant idea. Those shoe racks, you know, the ones in the back, hold about 9 pairs of shoes. What a great tip. Of course, if you've got any tips, do let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical. If you could give us a like and give us a follow on the socials, that would be great. Also, if you could give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, that would be brilliant. If you want to leave a good comment as well, that's also very nice. Thank you if you've done that. And do subscribe. Don't forget, we've got brand new podcasts coming out every other Friday, so don't miss it. Wherever you get your podcast from, be it Apple, be it Spotify, hit that subscribe button so you can get the next one as soon as it arrives. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.